So cold for us over here. We thought we were going to be warm, but when we got here in, we call it Buchanan, Bachanan, it is cold, cold. Even keep me trembling all the time. And we were happy to be with the in the hockey stadium when they were playing.
Hockey game.
It was the first time to see such a game in my life. And it was so nice. And we thank God for you all and even for your prayers, which you are doing for us. Because of you praying for us, we are still living. We would have died a long time ago, especially with what is going on in our country. A lot of killing because of the election. The people and the government does not want to give out the power. They want to remain there forever. And the people also in the country say, no, it is time to change. Let us see other people also ruling us. So in our country, especially in my tribe, they have killed a lot of young people. And you see them, they are killing with a bullet, not just by knife, but bullet. They blow their head out. They break everything. So we are going to see on the PowerPoint of what I'm doing in Kenya. We are raising on the orphans, those who are left with no hope in their life. And the Lord has laid that in our heart. Betty and I took the risk to raise these children. And since 1993, we have been taking care of them. That is the map of Africa, and the orphanage is called Mama Wilfrida, which was killed because of being a Christian. So when we tell you that it is bad in Africa, it is bad. People are being killed because of being a Christian. And that is Kenya. It's a small country in the continent. And that is Samson and Betty standing there. Thank God for Betty smiling with me. Okay, in the right hand is the children standing in front of the dining hall, which was built for us by the Indian man. I went to his office and I told him, we need a dining hall and the kitchen, and say, go find for me a blueprint. And I went to the man and drew it, and I went back to him. I thought that he was going to turn me down. And I asked the man, how much will it cost? He said, 1.5 million. Oh, it was so big money for me to go tell this man. But I went to him and I gave him the blueprint. And he said, how much will it be? I say, 1.5 million shillings. He said, Pastor Samson, I want to do something for the children before I die. So I say, that was God. And he got the contractor, and they came and built for us. And it is there today for the children. Amen. Those are the children eating after coming back from school. It did a time. And there was a malaria breakout. So we asked the Western country to help us buy a mosquito net. And you can see the children way up there. Mosquito nets. They were so happy to keep them away from the mosquito bites. And that is the portion meal, which was bought for us also. It's a donation. The portion meal help us to grind the corn. Our main food is cornmeal. So we keep them with the meat, vegetable, fish, and so forth. And that is where we take them for training to be a welder. In Kenya, every house, you'll find every window, they're having those grills to protect the bad people from breaking indoors. And those are the children from school also. So they're coming from school, they're happy. And that's the soccer team. Soccer, we raise them to play soccer. And that has helped them to get a job in different companies. Or some of them become a policeman. because of playing soccer. And every time they go play, they win. They are a winner. We call them winners. And that is some of the kids waving their university letters when they were accepted in the university. They were so happy. Because, you see, one child you help to get education is going to become somebody in the country. One of them is going to be a doctor. The other one going to be a teacher. The other one is going to be a nurse. And God is really blessing these children because somebody prayed for them. That was the time when the university's children were sent back home because of the riot. And the government said, go back home, not stay in the university. So they were catching up with the newspapers and finding out what's going on, if they have been accepted back in the university. And that is when they were given toothpaste and toothbrush. They say, oh, today I'm going to brush my teeth and go to school with a fresh breath. Yes. That's when we started a new church for them in the orphanage. There was a foundation being laid, and the church is being built, coming up by the grace of God. And that is when the church was finished building, but there was no windows and doors. So we are still looking for the money to put the windows. And that was officially open after everything was put on. Now, on the 17th of September, we opened that church officially. And you see those people, some of them have never gone to church. But on the opening day, they all came and say, I'm going to go to this church now. I want to join this church now. I want to join this church now. The church building preached for us the gospel of Jesus, and they came to church. A large number. And that was Children's Day at Mama Wilfrida Children's Home. We do that every year and ask the children, tell us about yourself. And there you find a child saying, before I came here, I never drank tea and bread. Before I came here, I never ate meat. I never ate fish. I never ate chicken. Mostly chicken and meat, chicken and meat. Until now, we are still praying for them to catch up with other children to start eating meat. And we do that always. And that is me plowing with the car, with the oxen, and tilling the ground. It was so hard, waiting for the rain to come so that we may plant. That was the barrel which was sent the first time from North Carolina. The children got the supplies. They were so happy. And that is Betty giving out the clothes to the children, which was sent to them. Everything we got, we put it, and the children like that. So we say thank you all for continuous prayers and support. And that is the prayer need we have today. That one, we want you to help us to pray about that. Money to able to hire workers. Currently we have only Mama Betty and two other ladies cooking for 120 children every day and washing their clothes by hand. We don't have washing machine. We are just washing manually. 120 children every day and wash them also. So provision for the children, school fees, food, health care, transportations. And we want to build a trade school to train the children tailoring, plumbing, welding, computers courses, and all other courses. Also, we are praying. We have three children this year, those who are supposed to join high school. And their school fees per child is $600 a year. And this may be two people can say, okay, we are going to support one child. We give $25 a month, $25 a month. We pay $200 every term. We have three terms in a year, January, February, and March. Then April, they go for a break. Then May, June, July. Then September, October, November. Every 3 months, $200. So we are praying that God will speak to somebody or maybe two people coming together. We want to support one child. We want to support one child. We want to support one child with $200 every term. For children to go to school, we have to pay. The government does not care that you are an orphan. They don't even give money for the children. Instead of them giving, they want us to give them money. So please help us to pray about these children. You know, by taking a child to school, you are fighting the future ahead of them, because the future will fight them also. So that is what we have today for you all, and my contact is there. Also, we have flyer on the table. You can take and read my name there, Samson Nyameche. Send money. Don't send a check. If you send a check, it will get lost on the way. Maybe somebody will put big amount, wanted to cash your money. And the only way to send money is through MoneyGram or Western Union. And that is an easy way for money to reach us in Kenya. So thank you all. And Betty and I are parents of 7 children. And we have 14 grandchildren. 2 are on the way this year or next year. We are going to be having house full of grandchildren, plus 120. All these children come and climb on our body and say, "Baba, Baba, Mama, Mama," makes me happy. And we are homesick now. We want to go back home. After staying in America for a long time, it's now a month and some days, we say, "God, take us back. We want to go back to be with the children." Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
Are you ready for the word of God? I may not speak like Pastor Daniel, I may not preach like him, but what I have is the word, the written word. The written word which changed my life one day when I did not know how. And somebody preached to me the gospel and changed me and made me to do something. I can remember the word I say when I stood up. I say, "God, I will also serve you one day." And I did not know in which manner I was going to serve the Lord. After suffering on the street of Kenya, after my mother was killed, I ran out of our home, went to the street, stayed there for 3 good years on the street, eating from the garbage can. And every night, my blanket was to burn the tires to keep me warm. That was the life I was living. But one day, a Catholic father came across my life and took me to the orphanage. And I said, "Lord, thank you." And I studied. I wanted to be a father in the Catholic Church. But it did not come the way I want. They told me that, "Oh, Samson, sorry, we cannot take you to be a father in our church or a Catholic church." So I went to Nairobi to look for a job. Nairobi is our capital city. There I did not get a job. I came back to the city where I went to school. There I got a job as a salesman. Then one day I was singing a song which I used to hear from my mother before they killed her. And the song made me to cry and cry and cry and cry like a little baby. When I went back, I told Betty to tell the pastors to come and pray for us. It was going to be a holiday in Kenya. So they came and preached the gospel of Jesus, and I renewed my love with the Lord. I said, "Lord, I will also serve you." And I can remember one day in our house as we were singing, every evening we used to sing and pray, sing and sing and pray, sing and pray. We saw the devil coming under our bed, running outside the door across the road. We were living in a very single house building. In that single building, 10 by 10, very small house, we did not have much. And the devil ran out across the road and went. And we knew that was the devil which wanted to kill us. The devil which make us sick. Before we became Christian, we were sickling people. Every day we were sick. Sick, going to the hospital. So we saw a lot of good things God started to do in our life. And that God is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in Bible days is still doing even today. He has not changed. Let me tell you this. The community in our home or around our home thought that they killed my mother and the word of God was killed. Now see what's going on with all these children. Until you plant a seed in the ground and it dies, then grows up, it will bring more fruits. When the seed is dead, it grows up, come out of the ground, and keep on growing, and the fruit which it will bring will be marvelous. I thank God for my mother's death. It is not a loss. It is something which is still going on, and the community nowadays can get water from the orphanage. The community can come and grind their corns in the orphanage. The community can bring their children, those who are left with no parents, in the orphanage because of God. So it is not a loss. It is not in vain. It is something growing and growing and growing and growing. So this morning we are going to learn from the book of Luke. Chapter number 4, we are going to read this statement which Jesus made before they killed him. And the statement says in verse 16, chapter number 4, verses 16 to 19, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." The Bible says that he went back where he grew and he was brought up there. And after going in the synagogue, he stood up. They did not ask him to stand up, but he stood up to read. Number 17 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" You see, that was number one thing he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. While he just opened the book and he found a place where prophet Isaiah wrote, prophesied before even Jesus was born. And he said, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Okay. I thank God for those reading. The Bible says that Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel to the poor. Where were those poor people? In which country? In Africa, or Asia, or Middle East, or Western countries, or where did he mean that to preach the gospel to the poor? As I was reading my Bible, I found that he was not speaking about poverty, or maybe material, or food, or houses, or cars, but he was speaking about the poor or poverty in our spirit or in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what he meant, to preach the gospel to the poor. You go around Bachanan, you will find a lot of people. They have a lot of money, but they are poor in the spirit. They need the word of God. And that's why God has sent us, has sent you. The same spirit of God which was in Jesus Christ is in you and you and you and you and me to go out and tell the people about the Lord. Because they are there, but they don't know how. They know what they did not know. They does not know what to do next. That's why Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel of to the poor, not poverty of material." And it says, "What we need in our heart today is the word of God, more than food." And Jesus also said that man cannot live by the bread alone, but by the word, from the word of God. When we have the word of God every day, man, you have everything in life. When you hear from God, you hear from somebody who controls the universe. When you listen to his word, you will be talking with somebody above all nations. His name is Jesus. Number two, he said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Don't you know that there's a lot of brokenhearted in our homes? People are walking with a brokenhearted. They are wounded. Our children are running away from homes. They don't know what to do next. Families are fighting every now and then, and that breaks our heart. And that was Jesus said, to heal the brokenhearted. They don't even feel like even coming home. Some are staying away from parents. I see in Kenya how children running away from homes and they are going on the street to have a dope or drink some beers and do bad things. All these things need prayers. And when we pray for our family, we are going to bring them together. The Bible also says that family that prays together live together. So we need to teach our children just as from the beginning, when they are still young, to go to church, to love God, and we will have our family together, and we are going to have a very beautiful family on the earth when we listen to the word of God. Number three, he said to preach deliverance to the captive. Many have been captured captives. You may say it in another way. When I think in Swahili and bring it in English, it's get lost. I get lost on the way to bring the deliverance. The only word of God can bring the deliverance in your home, can bring the deliverance in your children, can bring the deliverance in where you are working, can bring the deliverance in your city. When we pray together and say, God, change this nation, not by guns, not by spears or swords, but by the word of God. And you'll find that we are having a better nation. We are living in a society where there's no hope. I told you about what's going on in Kenya, the society which has lost hope. If government is killing the people which is going to govern, where are we going to get hope? Only in the word of God. That is the only thing which can help our nations, when we listen to the word of God. The devil is at work, people, and the time is short. Don't wait for tomorrow or for next year. This is the time which God wants you to do the right thing for his kingdom. And every time you start talking about Jesus, telling your friends, because I know and I know and I know that all of us, we have friends somewhere, those who are not saved. We have a lot of friends in your businesses. They come where you are working. They go together with them. Around your home, they are there. Tell them the love of God. And the only way you can win these people by love. Don't condemn them. Just love them. Love them. Love them. Keep on loving people. Before we went to Kisumu, we were staying in Nakuru, where I went to school. And in our small house, every evening there was a man who used to pass there every day, passing near our house. And every time he was passing, he can hear us laughing and sometimes singing and laughing. One day he came in the house and said, "Mr. Samson, I want to know what you have. Because every time I pass here, I find you laughing loud, singing loud." I told him, "Because we have Jesus." When you have Jesus, you have love, you have joy, you have peace. There is peace in that house. And he said, "I want to go to church with you." So we won him. We went to church with him just because of what he was seeing in us. You don't need to write something on the chest, "I'm saved, I'm born again." Just showing love to those people and you will win the world. Okay, number four, it says, preach recovery of sight to the blind. What kind of blind? Eyes, like Bartimaeus? No. There we are blind spiritually. We cannot see further because the devil has blinded us that we cannot read the Bible. Many people go the whole week without reading a Bible. Many people also go without a week without praying. The devil put, "Oh, I'm tired today. Oh, I cannot read the Bible." And every time you want to read your Bible, it's when you feel that like sleeping. The devil puts sleeping in your eyes. Maybe sometime you wake up at night, at midnight hour. What are you going to do? Running to in the fridge to get the leftover and eat? No, that is the time for you to read your Bible and hear from God, then pray. Pray somebody's in to come in the church. I was prayed in. You were prayed in. Somebody prayed for you or pray you in somewhere. I don't know who prayed for me. Maybe my mother who was killed before when I was 12 years old, prayed me in, and I became a Christian. So Jesus wants us to pray for our children every day and put them close, put your arm around them and love them. We have 7 children. All of them are helping us in the ministry. Some are playing the keyboard. 2 boys are preachers. Some are singers. And we keep loving them and praying for them. The most important thing, pray for them. Because the devil may pull them out. The devil is working so hard. And the devil is strong. The devil is very strong. He never gives up quickly. Until you say, "I am tired of you, devil," is when he will run away. So pray for your children always. Number 5, he says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Some of us have been bruised in our heart. Bruised. We have a lot of wounds. Where you're walking, in our homes, in the schools, market places, where you go, people does not love you. You have a lot of pain in your heart. You know it. You have been bruised. And this is the time and the hour for you to get healed from all those things which have gone through your life. Many people are walking with a lot of wound in their heart. "Oh, so and so did this for me." It is the time to forgive and get your brother, get your sister, get your mother, get your children. You have to forgive. We must be a forgiving people. Not what somebody did for you last year, you are still remembering till today. It is now over 12 months and you still put it here. You are walking with a big wound in your heart. Let it go. and say, Lord, I thank you for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a free man. The same way they were singing here, that I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. You cannot be free until you forgive. Hallelujah. Can somebody give Jesus a hand? That he's a forgiving Father. God will forgive you. And when God forgives you, he will forgive somebody. We need to forgive one another, even our homes. It is not time for speaking across the table. Somebody speak this side, somebody speak this time, somebody speak this time. Let me tell you something. We have a lady or a couple in our church. These people were married for 16 years and they never get a child. So 2 years ago, they went back home to be with their parents where she was married. It was on a Christmas day. Then instead of her being received in a good way, they did not receive this lady in a good way. So they ate at supper and she went to sleep. The husband was there with the mother and they kept on speaking about this lady until 1 a.m. The mother and the husband of this lady, they were talking how they wanted to chase this woman away. This woman cannot stay in their home, cannot produce a child. We must chase her away. It is time for her to go. The husband came when she was very tired, did not even want to speak with her, with his wife. And in the morning, this wife went to prepare breakfast. The mother of the boy was so furious, was angry, so angry, did not even want to eat with them. Then after drinking the tea and bread, the mother said, "You lady, you have to go. We don't want to see you again in this home. You must go." So she said, "Okay, thank you." Like today, everybody is are having fun. She sent me a text, "Pastor, I've been chased away from this home. Please pray for me." And I said, "Okay, we'll pray for you. I'm going back to Kisumu, and I will see you on Sunday. Tell you what I wanted to do." I told her, "You just come to Sunday in the church." When she was about reaching Kisumu, going to Kisumu, they have to pass our home first. Our home is about 20 miles from the church. So she called me and said, "Pastor Samson, I'm heading to Kisumu." I say, "So quick, because they have chased me away." And I started to laugh. I laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. So the more I was laughing, she was more crying. Cried. She saw that I was crying because he was chased away. I said, "Because of that small thing, you are now crying. And God is, the child is on the way. God is giving you a child very soon." She went to Kisumu, and on Sunday she came. We prayed for her, and I told her, "Do not go away. Just remain in your house. Remain in your house. There's a miracle coming." In 3 months' time, what we heard, that she was having a baby girl in our home. And we say, "You see, because you were chased away, God now want to make them know that he is the rewarder, not themselves, who can give you a child." And I went and spoke with the husband. I said, "You see, why did you allow your mother to chase this woman away? This is your wife, not somebody's wife. Now see what God is now doing in our life. You see, unless you come to a point where you need only Jesus, people have been wounded. She was wounded, and she went back and said, 'Mother, I forgive you. Forgive you for what you did for me.'" We need to forgive, and God will forgive us also. Number 6, it says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the last one. Now, Jesus is saying to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Time, acceptable, time, and day, week, month, and year of the Lord is now, not next week, or tomorrow, or not next month, or next year. This is the acceptable year of the Lord for us to tell people that Jesus is soon coming back. He's on the way. You hear what we heard from my brother, Pastor Richard Richardson. He's the best friend I ever had in America. He was the first person to come visit with us as a missionary in Kenya. And I took him many, many, many places, even fishing. And when I was coming, I tried to call him. The telephone was silent. I tried many, many times. And the next thing I hear this morning that he has passed away, which made us to cry, shed tears of his going home to be with the Lord. When you love somebody, when you hear something about him, will make you to shed tears, whether the tear was not there in your eyes. And that is loving somebody. The same way we love Jesus. Jesus cried, he wept on the cross because of you and me. And he said, Father, forgive them. He asked God to forgive those who killed him on our behalf. He died for you and for me, that we may live again and tell other people about him, that he lives and he loves. Because of his loves, we will one day be with him in heaven. And when we go to heaven, the first thing I will do is to shake hands with him and ask him, why did you die for a wretch like me? I was once a wretch, and he made me to be somebody who can talk about his word. And the second thing, or the second person I will see, to look around and see where my mother is sitting and say, Mom, I made it also. I'm here with you in paradise. And I love to say that. That is the thing I will do on the time I will get to heaven. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for paying it all at Calvary, that I may be here. Thank you, Lord. And it's going to be a good day in our life. Thank you, Jesus.